This is On the Ground Ipsy on 89.1 WEMU, your community NPR station. I'm your host, Patrick Campion, and happy to have along with me, as always, Sarah Rigg from Concentrate Media, the project lead. Is that the official
project
title?
Project manager.
Project manager. It's been a while, can you tell? And this is a project that we are so happy to be the media partner on because there is just not enough great press coverage about positive things happening in and around Ypsilanti. And by positive, we don't mean this is not a marketing vehicle. This is not hoorah. Everything's perfect in Ypsilanti. No, we acknowledge that there are issues in our community, but not enough focus on the people and the places and the things that are working really hard to make our whole community better. Rise, you know, what is it? A rising tide lifts all ships. So we're focusing on the people that are really working hard in our community, and there's never a shortage of people in our community for us to focus on that are trying to make our community better. So, hi, Sarah.
Hi.
And who are we focusing on this week? What's your story this week?
I'm doing a story about the Student Advocacy Center. It's an organization that covers the entire state, but is headquartered in Ypsilanti.
Interesting.
And I didn't know that much about it until I saw a flyer for it at a local community center, and I said, I have to find out more about what they do because it sounds really cool.
Well, I'm assuming it's some sort of work with students and some sort of advocacy. And it's based around a center. Yeah, all right. So I'm good so far. But I think I'm in the same boat. I saw your initial draft of your story, and I really didn't know that much about it either. So I'm
right.
Excited to learn more. Who do you have here today to help us learn more about this program?
I've got Executive Director Perry Stone Palmquist,
okay.
And an intern who is also a former board member for the organization named Brittany Barrows.
So Perry and Brittany, welcome, and
thanks
for being here today. Perry, we'll start with you. Since you're the head cheese, what is the Student Advocacy Center? Give me the 30,000-foot view. Do an elevator pitch. Go.
Elevator
ready.
Elevator pitch. Go.
Yeah.
Well, we exist to help students stay in school, to put it quickly. We were founded in 1975 by community members and people that were really parents that were really concerned about how African-American students in particular were doing, and that really remains a focus. So we do provide advocacy, one-on-one education advocacy, long-term mentoring, support by phone. We're really just all about elevating the voice of students.
So here's maybe a harder question. Why haven't we heard about you before now? Are you a secret? Or is it just, you know, do you not have, you know, I'm assuming you, like many other organizations.
My board asked this question
all
as
right.
well. We don't have a shortage of clients, so that doesn't seem to be
okay.
an issue. But I think if you haven't had, if you don't have a family member who has a disability, or if you haven't had a child who's maybe been expelled or suspended in school, you maybe haven't had a reason to know about
okay.
us, but we're trying to change that.
So give me a basic rundown. You mentioned, I mean, obviously the goal is to help students stay in school, but what are some of the things that you do as a group?
Yeah, so we have kind of a continuum of services. So we have a statewide helpline, and so anyone, and we get quite a lot of calls from Washtenaw County.
Hmm.
People just maybe need advice by phone. They're having some kind of an educational crisis. And then it goes to a little bit more serious. So we know that 6 students every single school day in Michigan are expelled, and more than 300 are suspended. And so we are providing advocacy and support and resources for families going through school discipline
right.
situations, special education, and really helping them know what their rights are, their options, and collaborating with the schools.
Interesting you say that, too, because I have 5 kids, 4 of them in high school, and we've had lots of issues with various things, but nobody ever says, and here's your resources that you can use to help your child get back on track.
Mm-hmm.
It's generally like, okay, see ya, and now what? So it sounds like you're there to fill in that void of the now what. I'm a parent and I'm panicking because I don't
yeah.
know what to do with my kid. What else do you do? What else do people reach out to you for?
So in Washtenaw County, the school districts will automatically refer to us if there's
oh, great.
An expulsion or long-term suspension.
Okay.
And then we do a lot of work with youth in foster care. Unfortunately, there's a lack of foster care placements in Washtenaw County, so a lot of those youth are all over. So I know last year our advocate was traveling up to Traverse City to help a student graduate. And then we have an evidence-based mentoring program, and that's only schools. Only schools can refer to that, Ypsilanti schools and Lincoln schools. And we work with those youth for at least 2 years. Sometimes 3 or 4. We see them every single week. We're focusing on their education, on their attendance, on their grades, and their discipline.
You mentioned foster care. Do you help students that have issues in the home that would require them to no longer be in that home that where they're at?
Right. So our youth in foster care, they may just they may be involved in the child protective services system, so they may still be at home, and there may be some neglect going on. Okay. But more often, it's students who have actually been removed from the home. The state is now their quote-unquote parent. They're maybe in kinship care or a foster home. They might be in a secure placement. And their education can often get lost in those crises. Brittany could talk more about that than I could, but from a more personal experience. But we're really there to make sure that they still get the education that they absolutely deserve.
Well, let's transition. That was a nice segue over to Brittany. That was very good. That was almost professional there. We're going to throw it over to Brittany. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
You mentioned, Sarah mentioned you were on the board and you are now an intern. What do you do at the Student Advocacy Center?
Yeah, absolutely. So my first role, of course, like Sarah said, was on the board of directors. So helping manage and maintain the organization and, you know, further developing our values, our purpose, our strategic plans. But I got to transfer over to a BSW intern. I go to school for at Eastern Michigan University at the School of Social Work. And Perry gives me a plethora of wonderful, meaningful projects, such as grant writing, data analysis, program development. I'm really working on like a macro scope and a scale when it comes to the Student Advocacy okay. Center.
And what inspired you to want to be involved with the Student Advocacy Center?
Yes, absolutely. So a little personal story. When I was in fifth grade, my siblings had a lot of complex behavioral and physical disabilities, which ultimately caused us to be tardy, have excessive tardy and truancy for school. We had a meeting with the school board about the suspension of me for 6 months. And they made the determination that because my siblings had a disability, they couldn't suspend them. Because I didn't have a disability, that they could suspend me. So I was suspended for 150 days. I was a straight A student. I never got in trouble. So I felt very marginalized and oppressed by the school that I went to. And I really wish I could have had that help and support from someone like the Student Advocacy Center, because if I would have had that support, I probably wouldn't have been expelled having that advocate with me.
How do you recover from something like that? Because at that age, that's going to set you pretty far behind.
Yeah, so I ended up transferring to a public school system here in Washtenaw County. And, you know, going through that challenge, it's very traumatizing. It's very traumatizing to have to, you know, go from everything that you love to a school that you don't know. And that often happens with foster youth, too, a clientele population that we serve a lot. So for example, I was moved five different homes to five different placements in middle school, so I had to go to five different middle schools in an span of 3 years.
So you lose your friends, you lose your routine, you lose your familiarity, and you lose the education levels too. They're different from school to school. So what your expectations of what you had and for your background and whatnot are going to change too. That must have been horrifying.
Absolutely. And one thing I would like to say, another reason that I got involved with the Student Advocacy Center, my siblings with their complex needs and emotional behavioral disabilities, my siblings were failing grades. They kept flunking them three grades behind. They kept getting it suspended. My siblings kept getting expelled. My siblings were also in foster care like I was. And so when we got into foster care, the Student Advocacy Center came involved in my siblings' case and provided great mentorship to my siblings and helped them pass middle school.
And I think that, you know, maybe you could answer this to Perry. It seems like when an advocate gets involved, school districts do more. I mean, maybe it's just a general rule, or maybe it's just, you know, something I've experienced in my own life with my own children. But, you know, it seems like if just parents and a student walk in a room, the likelihood that something positive is going to come out of that meeting is lower than if you have somebody who actually knows the system with you.
I wish that wasn't the case, obviously, but that's what I've observed over and over again, and that's what a lot of research bears out, that especially in situations where maybe a parent also has a disability or the student doesn't have a parent there, in those situations, the decks are stacked against them. And just to be honest, like, the system is really complicated. My son had an IEP when he was little, and I'm like, I have two masters, and I'm a professional advocate, and I still felt like, wait, what should I ask for? Like, it's just a really hard situation for any parent.
Right. Nobody gives you a list. I mean, I have two kids on an IEP in a school district in Oakland County, and nobody says, here's the resources that are available to you. You have to have somebody that knows what those things are and ask for those things. And I just want to say, Brittany, I'm so glad to have you here at Eastern.
Thank you.
Thank you, because it speaks that you overcame that background and you're here now. And what a blessing that you're here and want to help students that were in your shape too and your position too. That speaks volumes about you and your character. So I'm so glad we got to meet. Perry, thank you so much for coming in and talking about it. I wish we had like 20 or 30 more minutes to talk more about this, but I'm sure, Sarah, you have great stuff in your story. What was really the impact on you of discovering this group in more detail?
I just know that there's some inequity in terms of who gets targeted for a suspension and expulsion. So I'm just so glad that these folks are out here doing this work and standing up for the people who are the most vulnerable and most in need of an education. And I do also just want to put a little plug in that if you'd like to support them, they have an event coming up in April that maybe Perry can just mention real quickly.
Oh, yeah, please do.
Yeah, sure. We have our annual storytelling event is Friday, April 17th. So there's information on our website. And it's a really powerful event. Brittany, one year, told a story with her sister, actually. We have a youth formerly in foster care who's telling her story this year. And so it's a powerful time for community to connect. And
what's the website?
Support www.studentadvocacycenter.org.
Okay, that's easy to remember, but I'm sure, Sarah, you'll have it linked in your story.
That's right.
We, of course, will link to everything that Sarah puts in her great work as well. You can find that at WEMU.org. If there was one thing you wanted people to know, and either Perry or you or Brittany can answer this, if there's one thing you wanted people to know about what students need that they might not be aware of, you know, that you see day in and day out, that really is a need that our community can help serve by supporting your group, what is it?
I was going to say love, but what do you want to say, Brittany?
Honestly, I love that answer. I love love, but also, honestly, technical support, too. Okay. Like the support of helping the youth get to school, helping youth with homework, helping youth with accessing to educational resources. That's the core focus of the Student Advocacy Center and what we really do, and something that we've thrive on is making sure students are having the right to their education.
And one last thing, too, I just out of curiosity, does it have to be parents that contact you, or can it be educators? If somebody sees a need, can they reach out to you and say, hey, I've got a kid and I don't know what's going on here, but something might be, you know, or they, you know, a concerned teacher has a kid that gets suspended and the parents don't know what to do and they can reach out. Can educators?
Anyone can call our helpline. We can't, like, engage in really unless we talk to the
The supervising
family.
Adult.
Yeah, the supervising adult. But we've had teens call before. Okay. We have community mental health. Yeah, so anyone can call. How much we can do will depend on.
Yeah, because I know in our audience there's so many people that care so deeply about education, and that sometimes you're hamstrung by, you know, you just can't do anything because the parents don't know where the resources are or don't have access to them, or there's the parents just aren't involved.
If these are easy issues, they're not easy. They're challenging issues.
Well, thank you for doing what you're doing. Thanks for your work, Brittany, and continued success here at Eastern, I hope, for you. And what do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want?
Yeah, so
sorry,
when I grow up.
Not that you're already grown up.
So I personally want to go to, I want to become a foster care worker and then make my way up into a supervisor and child welfare policy. And then eventually I would like to run for Congress.
Awesome.
And start a political career.
She doesn't really have any dreams, as you can tell. She's not about this at all.
Good. Well, you know, I know from my background, I know from personal experience and from talking to people that to overcome what you overcame, to have that goal and to have that, that speaks a lot about you again. So best of luck to you. And we're glad to have you out there helping our kids in our district.
Thank you.
Sarah, thanks so much for bringing us this story. Do you know what you're working on for next week?
Yes, I am doing a story about another great agency that's based in Ypsilanti doing good work in the community, and they're celebrating a big anniversary this year.
Ooh, all right. Well, we'll have to wait and see what that's going to be about. You can hear On the Ground Ipsy on WEMU every Wednesday, and you can find the great work that Sarah does and all of her colleagues as well at concentratemedia.com. I'm Patrick Campion for On the Ground Ipsy on 89.1 WEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.